Hello. I know it's been a long time since the last time you heard my voice. I had to take a small break between this podcast and the previous episode. The reason why is my son had some surgery. He was up at night in pain several times a night, so it made me very tired and groggy during the day. I had some med changes. I've been trying to look for a job, so things have kind of thrown my idea of a schedule off. Also, I got a little bit in my head, which happens. I do plan on posting a little more regularly. I don't know what my schedule is. We're going to kind of feel as we go. But we're definitely going to be looking more into the future. So, with that being said, I had reached out to some of my followers and did a little poll and seen what they wanted to hear about. I had them throw some ideas out to me, and one of the ideas that was pitched to me was coming out to your family and friends and how exactly to go about that. So, without further ado, we're going to talk about ways you can tell your family about your mental illness. So, this is a little bit more difficult subject for me, particularly because I was so young when I was diagnosed, and my family was well aware. I didn't have to come out to anyone per se, and which is such an odd term because you would think having mental illnesses wouldn't be like a closeted thing, but it very much is. I have a lot of people in my inbox asking me questions and things what to do, and advice, and these are things that they should be really reaching out to their loved ones about, but they can't because they kind of live in the shadows, which is really much a huge shame for those of us with mental illnesses because this should be something we can openly talk about. Like, for instance, you find out you have diabetes, you should be able to talk to your family, friends, and coworkers, and things like that openly about, and a lot of people cannot when it comes to things of mental illness. So, coming out to my family wasn't really something in the manner in which I anticipated. I ended up being hospitalized at 16, which I've talked about in previous episodes. So that was something that was definitely kind of done for me. I was young, my aunts and uncles were, involved at the time, so my, parents would have already told them what was going on with me. So that one is a little harder. However, I do have experience coming out to my friends. When I first came out of the hospital, I chose not to tell anyone why I was really there. My mom did not tell anyone why I was in the hospital. She chose to give me the opportunity to, whether I wanted my friends to know or not. That was given to a choice, which I still to this day greatly appreciate that she respected me enough with that decision at the age of 16. It's hard fitting in as a kid as it is, and then adding something that has such heavy stigma on it. It was a nice, I guess, of lack of a better word, it was a nice choice. So there's a lot of ways to do this. So you either, and it really gauges on what you're trying to get from that person. So you need to decide ahead of time, what are you looking for in your relationship with this person? Because honestly, there are some people that I am friends with and they don't know because it doesn't really pertain to the kind of relationship we have. We're more acquaintances, maybe we're distant coworkers or something like that. So that's not really information that they need to know, because they don't even know like basic information about my kids. So you need to evaluate the relationships in which you're attempting to tell someone. Almost everyone who knows me knows about them because that's just the type of person I am. With that being said, what are you trying to get out of this relationship by telling them? Because they're going to want to know what their role is. It's kind of innate. Like if you're close to someone, and they're an understanding, because this can go one of two ways. If someone who truly doesn't understand kind of tends to shrug it off, or if there's someone who understands and they're like, well, we're going to jump in head first. What do you need me to do? I can call you. I can take your appointments. And it's very overwhelming. And people want to help. And so you're going to get a lot of unsolicited advice, and you have to be prepared for that. And that's why you should go in knowing what exactly you want to get out, because they're going to give you all the advice. And this will be another episode. Be like, listen, Karen, I don't want your essential oils. I appreciate it. But I'm going to have to pass on that. And I'm not knocking essential oils because I have them in my house and use them for everything. But I do not use them as medicinal items or in place of any medicinal uses. So how do you tell your family and friends? Like I said, step one, you want to know what the relationship is going ahead of time. You know, my husband, I was pretty much very forward with him when we first started dating because I knew the kind of relationship we were going into. We were dating. That's a pretty intimate relationship. And I feel like personally, that's something I want them to know ahead of time because I want them to understand what they're dealing with at face value. I don't feel like anyone should be like suckered into this because I know what I'm like when I spiral out of control. And I feel like this is something he should be aware of. For him, I also had another friend pull him aside and tell him like, oh, you don't understand. And my dad said something to him as well about my disorder when we first started dating, not to scare him off, but more of to give him a real reality. Because that's going to be that's going to be hurdle number two. So when you do tell them, you're going to probably get one of two people. You're going to get someone who understands on some level what mental illness is. And then you're going to have someone who's kind of in denial. They're going to think it's going to be there. It's all in your head. Suck it up kind of people. Which is always funny when they say that because, I mean, honestly, every time, this point forward, anytime it's like, well, it's just in your head. I'm like, no shit. It's not in my toe. It's a mental illness. I don't know what tipped you off there, friend. The mental part. I mean, you're a sharpshooter, but you're going to have those people and it's going to make it very difficult. You can make the decision to keep them in your lives or not. If you are someone newly diagnosed or someone who recently lapsed and has gone through an episode, you really want to surround yourself with people who are going to be positive in your recovery. So if you have Debbie Downer, who's always like, well, you just need to go for a jog, or you just need to do this, or, you know, it's all in your head. It's really not that bad. Like, those type of people are not helpful and you really don't need them in your lives anyway. I know it's easier said than done for some people. I have never really had a hard time cutting people out of my life. So it's not so much an issue for me. I know some people have much of a harder time, but I'm saying from experience, if you have someone who doesn't understand or doesn't even want to try to understand what's going on in your life and doesn't want to try to help on some life, your recovery is not going to go well because they're going to try to pull you down and you need to focus on yourself to get yourself better. You need people who are going to be kind of cheerleaders along the way. It gets very frustrating sometimes because you'll have your overachiever friends who are always like, oh, I haven't heard from you a couple of days. And what about this? And what about this? And they kind of mother hen you, not out of maliciousness. It's a lot of time. It's because they care. It gets very fucking irritating, very fucking quick. But you don't want to sound like a jackass. So you kind of let it happen because they're trying their best. And you kind of have to take that with people. Unless you yourself has ever gone through something like this, it is trying to... It's trying to describe something that is undescribable. You can't describe mental illness properly to someone because they will never truly understand what it's like to go through your head. Which makes relationships difficult on some level because, you know, you start taking medicine and people are like, well, you should be better. You took your meds. Like, everything should just be fine. And it's a process and it's a continual process. And it's, like I said, it's difficult to fathom. So sometimes I give people the benefit of the doubt because no matter how understanding they are, they will never truly understand unless it's something they have actually gone through themselves. And you kind of try to take it and make the best of it. On, I had a thought and it just sailed away. You try to make the best of it. And then I should have drank wine when doing this. Anywho, so they try to make the best of it. They can't put themselves in your shoes because it's just impossible. There's no way of actually describing, you know, it's trying to, it's like someone asking you to describe a sunset. You know what I mean? You see the sunset and sometimes it's beautiful and you're like, well, it's orange and pink, but you know those words don't truly explain the beauty that is in the sunset. You tend to grasp at words, and describing what having a mental illness is the very same way. You're grasping at straws to try to get them to be in your place, and they can't because they've never been there. You know, personally, at home, I go through the same thing because on some levels, I am doing better because I'm on medication. We are still adjusting. You know, we just added another med. And we're trying to balance things out. I'm not getting a whole lot of sleep right now because of my son, which is, you know, leading to my issues on top of that because, you know, sleep is super important. But trying to always put that in words is frustrating because you don't know how you feel yourself, and then when someone trying to have you explain it, it's fairly difficult. So, to circle back, and we're coming full circle here. If you have someone, say a friend, and you want to reach out to this friend, particularly because you need someone to keep you accountable, okay? So, you want someone to be keen on when you're starting to spry out. Like, I have a friend who notices certain behaviors, like, I'll become withdrawn, she won't hear from me. She'll notice that my statuses in like Instagram will start to change. She'll notice a difference in my posting behaviors. She notices these things, and when she notices these things, she reaches out to me and asks if I am okay. Do I need to talk? And that's because I have been open with her and I've been open about what I'm looking for. I am just looking for someone to listen to me. I'm just looking for someone to validate for me. And this is something important if you're listening and you do not have a mental illness or not struggling with some sort of invisible illness, but you are a friend or family member of someone who is, you need to understand that sometimes they're not looking for you to fix what's wrong. They just want someone there to listen and validate that their feelings are real. I feel depressed. And all your response is to, I can't understand on your level how that may feel, but I feel like but your feelings are valid, and I want you to understand that I am here for you no matter what. They just need a venting. They're not looking for a fix. They're looking for a safe place to unload their feelings to, knowing that they will not be judged or persecuted for having their feelings or for having things. For instance, I hear voices. I never told people about my voices that I heard because I didn't want to be seen as crazy. I didn't want to be seen as unreliable. I didn't want to be seen as a danger. And a lot of it, they were manifested from my paranoia from not taking medication and from getting, you know, out of control. And I didn't feel safe telling someone because I was afraid of what might happen to me. What if they take my kids away because they see me as an unfit parent because of what's going on? So, and a lot of damage happened because of me hearing voices. Had I had someone, and I'm not blaming any of my family and friends because I didn't clearly communicate what I was looking for, and I kept a lot of this to myself. I didn't create a safe space for myself. But had I communicated to someone, I could have been able to talk about this and maybe been able to get myself help sooner instead of thinking I had to keep everything together because I had to keep this certain image together because they might think less of me. So when you're telling family members, you're creating these spaces and you want to always keep control and define on how the relationship, when it comes to your mental illness, and this is, I'm not talking about anything else in relationships. I'm speaking directly about when you decide to tell someone that you have a mental illness, you need to lay down and be like, listen, I am getting help. I am on a journey. This is what's going on with me, and this is what I expect from you. I am not looking for you to fix me. I am not looking for you to have all the solutions. I am looking for you as support. I'm looking for you as a safe place and validation. I want to know that if I get really bad, you're a safe place for me to go, that you will help me get the help that I need to, that you will listen to me and validate whatever feelings I may be having and express it ahead of time so you understand what are you looking for from this person. Like I said, not everyone needs to know that you have a mental illness. If someone important to you that you feel like they should know, or maybe they're supporting you and they should be aware of why these behaviors are happening, then share. It's just like, I have hypothyroidism. I take Synthroid every day for it. Not everyone needs to know that I have a problem with my thyroid. No one needs to know that. I tell those who help me, for instance, you know, my husband, because he helps me make sure I take my medications every day because I tend to forget. So I tell him what these pills, you know, each little pill's for, and he makes sure I take each of the little pills. I've talked about it with my mother because it runs in our family and I wasn't sure what was going on. So I talked about her with my symptoms and I talked to her about her. I talk about it with people, other people who have hypothyroidism. I've talked to people about it who have had similar symptoms and unsure what's going on. So I offer that as a possible illness. Maybe, you know, like, oh, you're tired all the time. You're losing your hair. Well, this happened to me also. And it turned out to be this. Maybe you should be tested. That's a situation in which I tell people about my hypothyroidism. It can be the same about with your mental illness. You telling people is important to you. And I feel like you, at least you should never keep it on your own, because you should never try to do your recovery on your own, because you're going to slip again and you need someone there to kind of catch you. Okay. It's very hard to do this by yourself. It's very hard to, it's isolating. I have been there before, and I'm just telling you now that you should have a friend or two where you feel like you can openly talk about. And if you are unsure, talk about mental illness in general and see how they react. Sometimes people react negatively because they are uneducated, because they don't understand. And sometimes when you educate them and give them a true viewpoint, you don't even have to say, hey, I have this. Hey, I'd be like, I understand that this illness is really like this. It helps them understand. If you see someone who's willing to grow and learn, then obviously they're a safe person for you to talk to about. This is friends, family. If you have someone who's putting you down and is always negative to you, friend or family, they do not belong in your life. Simple as that. You cannot recover with someone who's always negative to you. It doesn't work. It's the same in real life. If you have a friend who's always negative, fuck off. Tell them to leave. Show them the door. You don't need that in your life. Everyone is worth being listened to and validated and lifted. I'm not saying being all hippy-dippy positivity all the time, because that's not realist. Real life. I'm positive about my recovery, but I know I will slip and fall again. It happens. I know that every day is going to be a struggle. I will not just one day wake up and be better. I will feel better with medications, but it doesn't mean my disease is gone. And having someone there to help support you when you're in different times is awesome. Also, for instance, my husband and I have a system and he supports me, but he is not my only support person because it is a lot. We have 2 children. He has a full-time job. So heavily always relying on him is unfair. So I have other people in my life. Like I said, my check person for when I'm spiraling is not my husband. It is someone else because A, they're out of the situation and it's easier to see what's going on from the outside than the in. Because he has so much going on that he may not notice all the time. And it also takes some of the pressure off of him because he cannot do everything. And it's not as though I won't tell him, but if there's someone else who's around to notice when I'm kind of hitting down. And it's not a trust thing. It's just a kind of way of, it's a fail safe. Maybe he doesn't notice, not because he is unobservant, but because, you know, our kids have been sick all week and it's been a very busy week at work for him. So I slip under the radar, not intentionally. It happens the other way, but there's someone else to catch it. I have 2 other people. I have my mom. My mom is like the biggest, usually my biggest hound dog. She always knows when I'm manic because my speech pattern changes. My train of thought is falling apart. She can see it in my writing and she can see things like that. So the nice thing about having a community is the pressure isn't always on you to try to keep your shit together, because if things fall apart, there's someone there to try to come and hold you. It's not leaning on them as a crutch. It's just having them in your life, because having friends is a nice thing. Or so I'm told. Socializing is still a hard thing for me. I'm getting there. Trusting people is still a therapy issue I'm working on. But having these people in my life, knowing that they're not going to judge me for falling apart, makes a huge difference. With that being said, I hope it gave you some insight on at least what to look for when you want to tell someone. How you tell someone is completely up to you. Take them out to dinner. Call them on the phone. Send them a text message. Whatever makes you feel comfortable and feel safe is the best way. I just suggest that you don't keep it all to yourself. I want to thank you again for listening to my podcast. I can be found on Instagram at Instagram.com/Lauren_Kocher, KOCHER. I am on Facebook at The Bipolar Mama. I have a blog, thebipolarmama.com, which you can now find my writing, and then here on my podcast. Be sure to share this with a friend. I look forward to talking to you next time.